A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people, I will put my spirit in you that you may live. And I will settle upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice in supplication.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, and you may be revered.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
I trust in the Lord, but with you is forgiveness. Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revealed.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
I trust in the Lord. My soul trusts in his word. More than sentinels wait for the dawn, let Israel wait for the Lord.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
For with the Lord is kindness, and with him plenteous redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all their iniquities.
With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit. If only the Spirit of God dwells in you, whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through this Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this, and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly, they got out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Beloved, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, the liturgy of the Word of God today, is dominated by the theme of resurrection. The prophet Ezekiel, the 37th chapter of his writing, is presented to us in our first chapter. It's a small section of a larger prophetic writing or a prophetic utterance that he had given that is commonly known as the prophecy of the dry bones, of how the Word of God and the Spirit of God proclaiming and breathing on the bones in the valley. There's this vast valley of bones that are this strewn all throughout the valley, and as the Word of God is spoken, the four winds of the Spirit come, and then the sinew and the bones begin to come together. You know, the hip bone connected to the thigh bone. That's where that song comes from. It's based on this beautiful prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 37. And Ezekiel's word is a word in its context, in its historical context. It's meant to enliven and to renew the hearts of the children of God, the Hebrew children, who have experienced decimation and just utter depravity as a sense of their infidelity. They are exiled, they are in slavery, and it speaks of them being restored both morally and politically. They will be returned to the land God had promised them. And that for them would have been like, yes, that truly would be a resurrection for us. Because as far as they were concerned, they were in a living hell. They were as good as dead. But then the prophet also speaks to us about the messianic age. And if we've been paying attention to how these Gospels of St. John have been presented to us since the third week of Lent, we see the progression. And it really emanates from the conversation with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember, she was drawing water at a time that was unseemly for a woman in those days and those times. And of course, we know Jesus intended to offer her something that no earthly reservoir of water could provide, or nothing of this earth for that matter could provide, the living water, the spirit, the gift of God he spoke to her of, and that enlivened her, that elicited the faith that she had already had. And Jesus wanted her to know that this was the time. Last week, the man born blind, he, of course, recognized his blindness. He knew his condition. Jesus had pity on him, restored his sight. And, of course, what was revealed, the Pharisees, those who were in the quote-unquote know, were really in the dark because they refused to accept Jesus on his terms as the one sent by God. No matter what he said, no matter what he did, they continued to hold prejudice against Jesus. And these, mind you, are not the religious Jews. These were those Jews that were in the area of Jerusalem, Judea. The Judean Jews were the ones who held issue with the Galileans, those, and Jesus was coming from the region of Galilee. And so there was this discrimination, this prejudice. But we're not talking about all Jews. All of the religious Jews were not against Jesus. Martha was a Jew. Mary was a Jew. Lazarus was a Jew. Mary was a Jew. Joseph was a Jew. So let us be clear. When John is referencing the Jews, he's not speaking of all of the religious Jews. It was a sect. It's like we have sects of Christians that can be fanatical and radical, sects of the Muslim community that can be radical in doing these things. Every group has their issues to contend with. So I just want to make that statement because, you know, there's so much rampant anti-Semitism going on right now. It's absolutely absurd to have Christians to have this type of a disposition against, as if all of the Jews killed Jesus. They were not. So this is something to bear in mind as we see the politics of the times as well as the cultural challenges of our times. So as we hear this beautiful word from the prophet Ezekiel, we see how it beautifully sets us up for the dynamics of today's gospel. John presents the gospel to us in a way that he is assuming we are familiar with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And we see how they are true to form. Martha, the extrovert, she's the one who loves to extend hospitality. She takes pride in crossing T's and dotting I's, taking care of all the details. She's the practical one, as we hear it in the scene. Lord, there's going to be a stench. So when she hears that Jesus is coming, after now both of the sisters have sent him word through a messenger, the one whom you love is ill. Notice how they couch the petition. They don't say, Lord, Lazarus, who loves you, is ill, or our brother is ill. No, they don't present the message to Jesus in that way, but they present it, the one whom you love. They know Jesus is the incarnation of love. They've come to believe in him as the one. But more important to Jesus, more pressing on him at this juncture in the journey, was not so much to deal with every illness and disease amongst the people. No, his desire at this time now is to show that he has dominance over death itself. And this is where we have this puzzlement, huh? After he receives this word, and we're told by John that he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And as a result of that love, he stayed on 2 days more. That's like, you think, what the heck is going on here? That's just like if you called me and your loved one was actively dying, I mean literally gasping for their last breath, and you called for me to come to your house for an emergency, for the last rites and so forth, and I told you, I'll be right there, let me finish my burger and my beer, and I'll come over, I'll be right there. Now you know, you would be put out by that. And especially then, let's say by the time I get there, it's done, right? The person has given up the ghost. But then what? we would be missing the real revelation of the love God has, that Jesus has, not only for Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, but for each and every one of us here. See, the church fathers, John Chrysostom and St. John Chrysologus, have commented on this scene. And they say that the Christian community that becomes scandalized by those members of the community that we recognize as righteous, as faithful, as stalwart, steadfast witnesses to the gospel, when we see them falling ill and suffering some great situation, it doesn't seem to make sense to us. We get troubled by that. We're scandalized by that. But what we are failing to realize, Saints Chrysostom and Chrysologus say, is that those to whom the Lord really has a special favor for, he draws them deeper into the mystery of his passion. If you doubt that, just begin to read the lives of the saints. St. John Paul II, look at how he ended up by the time his days would be done, the sufferings he endured. St. Bernadette Subaru had the cancerous tumor that she suffered. St. Therese of Lisieux, the tuberculosis. These were great saints. And then not to mention the martyrs that God allowed to die in witness to Christ. This was not because Jesus, God, does not love them or us. No, Jesus, when he came among us, came amongst us and remains with us, did not come to do away with illness and disease as such. He embraced it in such a manner so as to show us it's all encompassed. Everything is taken by him to himself, so that when he goes to that cross, no one should ever wander or question, does the Lord have regard for me? Does he know what it is to suffer migraine headache, to have arthritis so bad that you literally can't move, to have someone die in a botched surgery on an operating table, such as a heart surgery, to be scarred, literally their bodies riddled with scars and lacerations because of some type of malady to the flesh, such as leprosy or other open sores that can appear, that can wound us. More than all of this, Jesus is concerned with the reality of our souls. There is indeed the dying of the body. St. Paul says, our bodies are dead in sin as a result of sin, but we are alive in the Spirit inasmuch as we've received the Spirit of the one who is the giver of the Spirit, Jesus. All of this is pointing towards the reality that Jesus wants us, and as he wanted Martha and Mary and them to know, and that crowd, look at how he loved him when Jesus wept. The shortest scripture verse in the whole of the New Testament, Jesus wept. St. Augustine, commenting on that particular scene, that particular verse, says, God, Jesus weeps so as to show us how to weep. It's highlighted that he was perturbed, he was angered at the situation, that Lazarus indeed had to die, that he did die, because it's to let us know God isn't happy about the situation that we are all contending with. He's not happy at all, and he wants us to know it's all right to be perturbed. It's all right to express disdain for the things and to see how the world is suffering as it suffers and how it has to die as it does. But it doesn't end there. Notice how the gospel says this. This illness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. You know, we have it in our minds. We'd have no problem believing that Jesus was raised up from the dead, which is one of the reasons why this particular gospel, this particular miracle is held up for us. And it's the only gospel that presents this miracle. Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not have it. John presents it to us because of what it says about Jesus in particular and what will happen to him. This is a beautiful preparation for us as we head into Holy Week. But it's more than about Jesus. It's about you and it's about me. Because remember, notice two times in this gospel pericope, John tells us, he makes it a point to highlight that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. It was the common understanding and belief of the Jewish community. Because you know, the Jews did not embalm their bodies. The Egyptians embalmed the bodies. The Jews would wrap the bodies in the linen, and they would pack them with spices and other types of things to offset what happens, what they believed happened after the third day, when the corruption and the decay starts taking hold. The corruption. And so then after that, they go back and then they get the bones, wrap the bones in the cloth that they've used, and they put it in ossuaries and contain them like that. And that's what happened with Joseph. When the Hebrew children were coming out from Egypt, they were carrying the bones of Joseph out with them, because he said, "Do not leave me here. Bring me into the promised land." So we are being shown this great miracle, and these details are being highlighted for us to confirm that with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption, as the responsorial psalm declares, "Out of the depths I cry to you, hear me, O Lord." Psalm 130, one of the penitential psalms. But this is the highlight for us, that inasmuch as Lazarus was in that tomb, and yes, the corruption of the body had set in, that was not an obstacle to the one who has the power to call forth, to humiliate death by forcing it to release one that is in the keeping of life itself. "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" And when Martha expressed faith in Jesus, faith in the fact that Lazarus would rise up on the last day, she was thinking at the end, the general resurrection, which was based in the Jewish scriptures, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, Isaiah also, there was belief in a general resurrection at the end of all the bodies and the souls. But no one expected anybody to be resurrected before the end. And so when Jesus calls forth Lazarus as he does and he comes out, well, this was to confirm the faith of Mary, Martha, of those who and us who have already have belief in Jesus, and it was to awaken faith in the crowd, as we're told. When they saw it, they believed in him. So when it comes down to it, we are going to be resurrected, not only our eternal soul, but our bodies will be restored to our souls at the end, at the last trumpet. Right now in heaven, there's only two people with their glorified bodies, Jesus and his mother Mary, who are without sin. But all of the other saints, like you and I, although they've gone into the blessedness, they are awaiting their bodies. Nothing will stop God. Nothing is impossible for God. God will restore us, body and soul, in the same way Jesus presents himself after he comes forth from the grave. Lord, the one whom you love is ill. Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, their brother, very much. So he stayed on longer, two more days. And he says, "I'm glad that I wasn't there. So now you believe that I am the one sent by God. I'm not only the one that will be raised up on the third day, but I, just as St. Paul tells us today in the letter to the Romans, just as the Father raised Jesus from the dead, the spirit that we've received will also enable us to be raised up to body and soul." God love you.